Pancha Kalpa Darubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, today we want to try to conclude our discussion about this Yajnapatni Leela, of the story of the wives of the Brahmins of Braj, the Yajna Brahmins. This pastime is such a deep pastime, it's not possible to speak on it completely. We're just going to touch on a few of the mountain peaks of this pastime. If we were to go into some of the deep valleys and caves of this pastime, there's so many wonderful things which would come up. But we want to complete our discussion today. Yesterday we were reading a verse from the 10th canto, 23rd chapter, which described the bhajan of the Nagapatnis. Prayashuta priyatamodaya karnapurar yasmin imagna manasastam atakshurandrai atta pravesha suchiram barirabhyatapam pragyam yatabhimatayo vijahunarindra. O ruler of men, for a long time these Brahmin ladies had heard about Krishna, their beloved, and his glories had become the constant ornaments of their ears. Indeed, their minds were always absorbed in him. Through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced Krishna to enter within their hearts, and then they embraced him for a long time. In this way, they finally gave up the pain of separation from him. Just as the sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. In this verse, it's said that the word tapa is there. Tapa means distress. Tapa also means heat. It's said that vipralamba agni, that separation is like a very terrible fever, vipralamba jwara, a very terrible heat. So we're hearing something about how the Nagapatnis attain the shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. This discussion reminds me of a very beautiful verse in the 6th canto, chapter 11 of the Bhagavatam. It's one of the prayers by Vritrasura. And this particular verse, Thakura Bhaktivinoda, he highlights in his Bhagavat Arka Maricha Mala. And when he introduces this verse, he says that this particular verse, spoken by Vritrasura, is the attitude that we should have during our bhajan. And this is the attitude that we see in the bhava, the Nagapatnis. The verse describes, Ajatapaksha eva mataram kaga stanyam yata vatsattarakshudartaha Priyam priyeva vyushitam vishana manoravindaksha dadrikshate tvam. The verse describes three different personalities. The first line describes baby birds. It said just like Eva, just like a baby bird who's ajatapaksha. He doesn't have, he has little wings, but they can't fly yet. And that baby bird is waiting in the nest, mataram, for his mother to come and feed him. If the mother doesn't come, that baby bird's going to die. The baby bird has no hope other than the mother. So the verse describes, manoravindaksha didrikshate tvam. In the same way, Krishna, we want to see you. And Bhaktivinoda says, this should be our attitude during our nam-bhajan. We should be crying out like these baby birds whose wings can't even, are not developed enough yet to fly. and the way they're crying, the way they're dependent on their mother. And the next line describes, stanyam yata vatsatara kshudartaha. Just like a young calf, a vatsa, is feeling great distress and waiting for its mother to feed it with milk from its udder. In the same way, we should also be hankering to see Krishna. And the final line describes, priyam priyeva vyushitam vishana. Just like the priyeva, or the wife, she becomes morose, vishana, in separation from her priya, or her husband, when he's gone from a long distance. And the word vishana, meaning morose, comes from the same bij dhatu that the word bish comes from, or poison. This is poison for such a lady who's so attached to her husband, and he's gone in a long distance, and she's crying and crying in separation. And Vishnu says she's wanting to serve him, but she's not able to. So in the same way, we should also be calling out to Krishna in this way. In the mood of the Nagapatnis, the Yajnapatnis, how they were calling out to Krishna. They were being held back by their husbands. So we described yesterday the very beautiful darshan they had of Shamsundar, Shama Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham, and how Barhavatam Samasitam Buddhasundarangam. He had a very beautiful peacock feather on his head and a garland of forest flowers around his neck. And it's said by Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu that when Krishna saw the Yajnapatnis, his heart melted. And Krishna spoke sweet words to them, and he told them, he said, oh, my dear ladies, you're carrying such heavy loads. That makes me very embarrassed. Why have you come here? And he said, here, let me. And Krishna personally took those pots off their heads and put them down. And Krishna told those ladies, swagatam vo mahabhaga ashyatam karavama kim yano didikshaya prapta upapanam idam hiva. My dear ladies, welcome yourselves. Please sit down. He told them immediately to sit down. And he said that you have come to see me is most appropriate. In his Saartha Darshani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he addressed those ladies, or the Brahmins, as Maha Prema Vatista, because they had the greatest prema, in a similar way that he addressed the gopis who had come for the rasa dance. And Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he comments on this verse. He says that although welcoming a guest is proper behavior, Krishna didn't exactly welcome the Yajnapatnis in a proper way. Because he simply told them, ashyatam, sit down. He said, because that such a welcome, it delays the relaxation of the guest in a slight way. So giving up all formalities, Krishna just told them, just sit down. He didn't want to see them suffer anymore from carrying their heavy load. Krishna told the Yajnapatnis, nandada mayi kurvanti kushala swatadarshinaha ohoitya avivahitam bhaktim atma priyayata. And this verse also is highlighted by Thakur Bhakti Vinod in his Bhagavat Arkamaritra Mala. He says that certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interest render service to me, which is both ahoitiki, unmotivated, and avyahiyatam, uninterrupted. Because I'm bhaktim atma priyayata. I'm that personality who's the most dear to the soul. So a question may come at this time. Krishna is speaking so sweetly to the wives of the Yajnapatnis, but now he's speaking in a very formal, kind of philosophical way. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this. He says that although these Yajnapatnis, these wives of the Brahmins, were full of the highest prema, fulfilling their desire at that time would not have nourished the rasa. And without nourishing that rasa, the pastimes wouldn't be as sweet. And Vishnu says that although Krishna was actually very moved and very controlled by the prema of the Yajnapatnis, suddenly within his mind, his Leela Shakti, his pastime potency, manifested her influence to bring a mood of Aishvarya or opulence. And therefore he began to speak to, Krishna began to speak to them, emphasizing some knowledge and opulence, and he told them, better you should go home. And Vishnu says that although Krishna's Aishvarya, his opulence, doesn't tend to manifest in the presence of personalities who have ecstatic love for him, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that Aishvarya Prema Sitila, that this Aishvarya, this opulence, generally it makes the love shrunken. So Krishna doesn't bring up this opulence generally in Braj or with those devotees who have such strong mamata or feelings of attachment for him. But for the purpose of keeping his pastimes perfect, it became manifest for the purpose of increasing the eagerness of their feelings of separation and unalloyed love. So subduing Krishna's rati, it brought out Krishna's discrimination. And thus he spoke this way in the mood of Aishvarya. And Krishna told those Yajnapatnis, Tadyata deva yajjanam pattayo vo dvijataya sasatram parashishyanti yushmabir griha medina. Very interesting and important verse for our discussion. Krishna told them, go home. You should return to that deva yajjanam, to that yajyarena. Because your husbands, those learned Brahmins, susatram parashishyanti, if you return there, then they'll be able to complete their religious vows. They'll be able to finish that sacrifice. Because when someone performs some dharma yajna, it's necessary that the yajnapatni has to be there, the wife of the Brahmin has to be there. That yajna can't be complete. So it's very interesting. Krishna is sending them back. Vishwanath, in his Sartha Darshan, he says that Krishna is telling them, in effect, that you go and perform these activities according to my order. Previously, you were doing it according to the order of your husband. But now, you do it according to my order, and you'll be able to see me directly there as well. At that time, the Yajnapatnis, they tell Krishna something which the first line of this verse is exactly the same as another verse which comes in the 29th chapter of this 10th canto. And that was spoken by the gopis. And this response was spoken by the gopis when Krishna told them to go home. And the Yajnapatnis, they said the exact same words in the beginning of the verse. Maivam vibhori hati bhavangaritam nirsangsam satyam kurushva nigamam davapadamulam praptavayam dulasi dhamma padavishistam keshani vodamati langya samasta bandun. They said the same thing as the gopis, that, oh, powerful one, please don't speak in this nishangsam, this very harsh or very cruel way. Don't speak like this. Rather, you should fulfill your promise. And they use the word nigamam, the significant word. Nigama has two meanings. It means a promise, but nigama also refers to the nigama shastras. Because these Brahmin ladies, they've been associating with their husbands, and their husbands, they know Veda Vedanta. And they've told him that, my dear Krishna, you've promised in Shastra that you always reciprocate with your devotees. And now that we've attained your lotus feet, we want to stay here in the forest so that we can carry on our heads. Vayam talasi dhamma padavisham shistam. We want to carry those garlands of tulsi leaves that you've neglectively kicked away with your lotus feet. And we're ready to give up. Atilangya samasta bandhun. all of our different material relationships. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that in effect the gopis, they're speaking to Krishna and they're citing, they're implying different Vedic aphorisms, such as the aphorism from Chandogya Upanishad, which is Nigama Vedic literature, which describes Nasapunar Avartate, that one who enters into the spiritual world, he never returns to the material world of birth and death. So they're saying, Krishna, we've come to you. We've come to your lotus feet. Now you can't send us back. They're telling Krishna, remember your promise. Yayatam mam prapadyante, tam sataiva bhajamyaham. However your devotee approaches you, you reciprocate. So we've given up everything to come to your lotus feet. Now you have to reciprocate with us. You promise, mameva ye prapadyante, mayami tam tarantite, that my devotee who takes shelter of me, he always crosses over all difficulties. Vishwanath describes that from their youth, the Yajnapatnis, they'd heard about Krishna. They heard about him from the flower ladies and the betel nut sellers from Braj. Because the Yajnapatnis, they were making garlands and helping their husbands to do their yajna. So they were hearing about Krishna when they purchased the flowers and the betel nuts from the personalities of Braj who were sometimes coming there. And Vishwanath says that the ladies, very nice prayer, please hear this, that those Yajnapatnis, they were praying to Krishna, hey Arindama! They addressed Krishna as Arindama, or the defeater, the killer of his enemies. Hey Arindama, twat prapti pratibandha ki bhuta duritadaya eva rayashtan tam eva kripaya dhamaya. Please vanquish these obstacles which prevent us from obtaining you. This is our prayer. O Krishna, please vanquish any obstacles which prevent us from attaining you. Krishna then told those Yajnapatnis, which is described, emphasized by Bhaktivinoda again in his Bhagavat Arkamricha-mala, Shavanat dashanat dhyanam mai bhavo nikirtanat natata sanikarshena patiyata tato grihan. Krishna told them, it's not by physical association with me. He said, it's by hearing about me. Shravanad, and darshanat dhyanam, by hearing about me, hearing Krishna katha, hearing Krishna's name, by darshanat, by seeing the beautiful deity of Krishna. Girirajo hare rupam shriman govardhano girihi tasya darshana matrena nano yarti kritartatam. The Garga Sanghita describes, by having darshan of Giriraj, Girirajo hare rupam, who's a very form of Lord Hari, tasya darshana matrena nano yarti kritartatam. Just by having darshan of Giriraj, you'll never have to take birth again. Just by seeing him, if we see him in tattva. So Krishna told them that Shravanat Darshanam Dhyayan, by hearing about me, by seeing my deity form, by meditation on me, by Anukirtanat, by doing kirtan for me, Mayi Bhava, with love, this is how you get me. Not tata sanikarshena, not just by physical proximity with me. We should understand what is the principle of Sangha. Srila Prabhupada, he spoke about this. He said, what does it mean to be near Krishna, to be near the Guru? And once he said, the mosquito, he's very close to the king, isn't it? Or is he? The king doesn't appreciate the association of the mosquito. So association, Sangha, is something which takes place on the platform of the heart. It's not something external and physical. And it seems as though Krishna was treating the Yajnapatnis in a very harsh way by sending them away. Our friend Nrisinghananda Prabhu in Southern California, he was a new devotee and he came to Srila Prabhupada. He came to the Hare Krishna movement. He moved into the temple. And his parents became very, very disturbed. They were a little influential. And they started contacting the police and making big complaints and going to the newspapers. And Srila Prabhupada called him in. And he was just a bhakta at that time. He wasn't initiated. And Prabhupada told him, go home. And this devotee started crying, Prabhupada, please, I want to stay here with you. And Prabhupada said, no, you can go home and you can chant Hare Krishna there. You can remember Krishna. He asked him, can you cook vegetarian food? He said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I can cook vegetarian home. Then you go home. He said, but Prabhupada, I want your mercy. And then Prabhupada told him, anyway, your name is Nrisingananda. That person who gets Ananda from Lord Nrisingadev. And Prabhupada, in a very informal way, initiated him like that. And told him, it's okay. You'll be safe in that situation. So externally, it seems like a very cruel thing. He's being sent home to his non-vegetarian, meat-eating demon, perhaps, I don't know, parents who are trying to stop him. But Prabhupada told him, it's okay. So this is a very deep principle. It's not just by physical association with a spiritual master or even physical association with a movement. But it's something which takes place on a much deeper level. There's a story you may have heard that Srila Prabhupada once was on an airplane in America with Harisari Prabhu and some other servants. And Srila Prabhupada was taking some prasadam, some mudi, some rice, puffed rice that the devotees had prepared for him. And then after Prabhupada had taken it, the servants were getting ready to take some. And suddenly one stewardess came walking down the aisle and something bizarre inspired her. It's not the way they train stewardesses. Suddenly she just reached out and she grabbed some of that mudi and she ate it, some of Srila Prabhupada's remnants. And she said, oh, this is so nice. And then suddenly, after eating that mudi, she developed a very nice service attitude to Srila Prabhupada. And she said, oh, is there something I can get for you? And they said, well, we don't eat anything. If you could bring us some fruits. And she said, well, let me go into first class and see if they have something there. And she made special arrangements for Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees were very astonished by that. The other part of the story, which many devotees haven't heard, is that some years later in Mexico, as I recall, some devotee was doing book distribution in some remote village where there's no temple for hundreds of miles. And he went and knocked on someone's door. And a woman answered the door. And he said, yes, we have this book, Bhagavad Gita. And she said, oh, Bhagavad Gita, please come in. And he came in and he was very astonished to see on the walls there were posters of Krishna and pictures of Prabhupada. And she had an altar set up there, and she had some of Prabhupada's books. And he asked her, how did you find out about all this? And she said, previously before I retired, I was a stewardess. And this thing happened for her. She got some mercy in that way. She wasn't associating directly with Srila Prabhupada or the devotees, but still she got so much mercy. And that mercy continued even in that distant place. So Krishna told the Yajnapatnis the same thing that he told the Raghunath Das Goswami. He told Raghunath Das Goswami, don't be a mad person. Go home and Krishna will make some arrangement. And through Raghunath Das Goswami, who some say is Tulsi Manjari in Krishna Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us what it means to come to the Hare Krishna movement. It doesn't mean that we have to move into the temple. And it means that those obstacles which may be surrounding us, as in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, who although his father and uncle, Hiranya and Govardhan Dhara, they seem like devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described them as materialistic people. Although they were chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity Radha and Krishna, and although they were feeding the Vaishnavas and Brahmins and giving charity, still Mahaprabhu said they were materialistic because they were attached to their wealth and to their opulence. And Raghunath Das Goswami was crying. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught through Raghunath Das Goswami that If a devotee has a sincere desire to come to Krishna, then nothing can stop that. And Krishna himself will make some arrangement. So in the same way, he told the Yajnapatnis, you go back to your husbands and let this pot of water, which is sitting on the hot stove in your heart, keep the lid on the pot and let the pressure build up more and more. And then in a natural way, finally, that pot will explode. Jiva Goswami, he describes in his Lagu Vaishnav Toshani, it yukta dvija patnyastha yagyavatam punargata te chana suyav astabi stribi shatram aparayan. So instructed by Krishna, the wives of the Brahmins, they returned to that place of sacrifice. And their husbands didn't find any fault with them. And together with them, they finished their sacrifice. This is a verse from the 23rd chapter of the 10th canto. And Vishwanath comments on this, that the wives, they followed Krishna's order to return. Whereas the Braj Gopis, they didn't follow Krishna's order. They stayed. But he says both the Gopis and the Yajnapatnis achieved unalloyed Krishna prema. In his Lagu Vaishnav Toshani, Jiva Goswami comments on the word tabi, in this verse of the Bhagavatam, which means with them. He says this word is significant, with them. He says that this means, it indicates that the Yajnapatnis, they went back to their husbands, and although there was some terrible fault, some great offense on the part of the husbands, because they neglected the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who they were trying to do sacrifice, Yajyo Vai Vishnu, for the pleasure of, but they neglected him and they criticized him. But when those wives went back to their husbands, those wives, they received the mercy, the kripa of Krishna. By going back to their husbands and in the association with those wives, the fault they had of ignoring the Lord was removed, and that sacrifice was accepted then by the Lord. So in other words, their rituals and emphasis on external things actually became perfected in the association with their wives, who are more on a spontaneous platform. And Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, he says an interesting thing, that when those wives returned with their empty pots to their empty homes, which seemed empty without Krishna, they found that their pots, when they arrived, they were full of jewels, and their homes were also full of jewels. Just like the fruit vendor who came to see Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he says that that fruit vendor lady, she received all types of wealth, including the treasure of Krishna prema, which also those Yajnapatnis did as well. So at that time, those Brahmins, they began to lament. And the 49th verse, the 39th verse of this chapter describes, Drishvastrinam Bhagavati Krishne Bhaktam Alokikim Atmanam Chatayahinam Anutapta Vyagarayam. That Anutapta, their wives, they were lamenting before, but now the Brahmins, Anutapta, they really began to lament in a very intense way. That what have we done? We didn't understand Krishna's position. And they saw, Drishtasrinam Bhagavati, they saw Krishna Bhaktim, Alokikim, the transcendental, intense devotion their wives had to Krishna. And they thought themselves, Atmanam Chatayahinam, we don't have any such devotion. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Sarita Darshani says a very amazing thing. Please listen. Tatascha Sabarya api guruniva mana yasto bhakti rahitam atmanam vyanindani tyaha jisteti aloki kim lokesh vasambhavam. He said that although those women were their wives, and in Vedic culture, the wives have a supportive role to the husbands. And generally it's considered that the husbands are the gurus of the wives. But now the Brahmins, Tatascha sabarya api guruniva. They regarded their wives as their gurus. And they criticized themselves that we have no devotion and our wives are far, far superior to us. And the Brahmins began to condemn themselves. And they spoke a verse which is one of my favorite verses in this chapter, a very beautiful verse. Dig janmanas trividyatad, dig brettam, dig bahugyatam, dig kulam, dig kriyadaksham, vimukaye twadhoksaje. To hell with our birth as Brahmins. To hell with our threefold initiations. To hell with our vow of celibacy. To hell with our knowledge of Shastra. To hell with our aristocratic background. To hell with our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. To hell with it all. Because as a result of all these things, we simply become proud. And we became opposed to loving the Blessed Supreme Lord, who's beyond the speculation of our material body, mind, and senses. This is the same prayer that Kunti Devi offers in the first canto. Janmai Shriya Shuta Shribir Edamana Madhapuman Naivahat Yabidattumvai Twama Kinchana Gochanam. Krishna asked her, do you want anything? She said, well, I have a few problems. What is your problem? My first problem is Janma. I have an aristocratic birth. I'm a princess. Big problem. Second problem, Aishvarya, I have too much money. How many of us think like that? Oh, Krishna, if you just give me just $1 million, I could use it in so many nice ways. Please, why don't you do that? But Kunti Devi, she's crying. This is a problem. Janmaishriya, Shuta. Next problem I have a PhD from Oxford University. Big problem. Too much education. And Shribir. I don't know how many ladies could pray like this. My other problem, I'm too beautiful. How many ladies consider it being too beautiful a problem? She says, but this is a problem because as long as I have this, I can't cry for you. I become intoxicated with these things. So the Brahmins, they began to lament. And they saw all of their great things which they were so proud of as being completely useless. Their high birth, their everything. Vishwanath says in another purport a few verses later, the Brahmin said that it's not proper for a woman to love anyone other than her husband. And although a woman should regard their husbands as guru, what can one say when the Supreme Lord, who's Jagat Guru, the universal teacher and spiritual master, appears directly before them? These ladies have developed love for the guru of the universe, Krishna. And now they don't have even a trace of attachment for home, husband, children, and so forth. As we no longer see those attachments in them, they become our gurus. And from that day on, the husbands, they accepted those ladies as their worshipable spiritual masters, and they no longer thought of those wives as their property. The Bhagavatam describes that the Brahmins, they were trying to understand, how did they become so elevated? We know all these different mudras. This one's really tough. This is a cow's nipples. We know all these different mudras and mantras and ceremonies and rituals. We have second initiation. These ladies, they never got second initiation. These ladies, they never lived like we did in the ashram of the guru as brahmacharis. These ladies never underwent any austerities. These ladies, they didn't study shastra very deeply. But they've gotten love for Krishna. How is it possible? In Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says that they didn't mention hearing and chanting because they weren't aware that this is what the ladies were doing. So this is an important point. Sometimes, in all religions of the world, sometimes some external persons are there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's two types of persons, Bahir Mukjanas and Antar Mukjanas. external persons and internal persons. Those external persons are Swanishtita in the language of Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his Govinda Bhashya commentary on Vedanta Sutra. They have strong faith in Vanashram. We have to do this. If I don't do this thing, I'm going to go to hell. And they really have to do that. But someone with a little more understanding, they take shelter of Krishna Nam. And it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho bhata swa pachato gariyan yas jiva grevarta te namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvu sarshna arya brahmana churnama grinanti yete. This was Srila Prabhupada's mood for us. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted the devotees to take shelter of Krishna Nam. And if we do this, as the third canto of the Bhagavatam describes, Aho bhata swa pachato gariyan. How glorious are the dog eaters! And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it from the grammar in the previous verse. It indicates they were still dog eaters. They hadn't even given that up yet. But how glorious they are, because they're chanting Krishna's names. And by chanting Krishna's names, the Bhagavatam describes, then they've gotten everything. They've gotten the benefit of doing all the different yajnas. They've gotten the benefit of taking bath in all the different sacred rivers. They've gotten the benefit of studying all the different shastra simply by chanting the holy names. And this is our process. We can't take shelter of the Dharma Shastras. We take shelter of the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 1. He said, there are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manusanghita and Parasara Sanghita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become free from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of these scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service to the Lord. On the other hand, chanting the holy name of the Lord even once not only frees one immediately from the reactions of the greatest sins, but also raises one to the platform of rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our process is not the process of the Yajna Brahmins. Our process is the process of the Yajna Patnis, who are chanting the holy name and taking shelter of that. And even though they didn't have Diksha, and even though they didn't live in the ashram of the Guru, and they didn't have austerities to their credit, still, they got everything. Srila Prabhupada wrote in another letter, we do not want all these rituals. Chanting Hare Krishna is our only business. According to the Manusanghita, you are all Malechas and Yavanas. So much for our study of Manusanghita. Prabhupada said, you cannot touch the Manusanghita. What to speak of translating it? So if you try to follow the Manusanghita, then you become a Malechan Yavan and your career is finished. What is our Adhikar? There are different types of Adhikar. There's Karma Adhikar, there's Gyan Adhikar, there's Bhakti Adhikar. Our Adhikar is there by the chanting of the holy names. And Srila Prabhupada, he didn't emphasize so many rituals and external things like the Yajna Brahmins. When Srila Prabhupada installed the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra in San Francisco, there was no fire yajna. There was no Purusha Shukta chanted, no mudras, no prana pratista even. There was not even an abhishek. The deities didn't even have dress. Prabhupada just waved a candle in front of them and they chanted Hare Krishna. Mother Lakshmi Moni, she told us that when she was in the New York temple, the devotees had a question. They wrote to Srila Prabhupada one letter. They said that Srila Prabhupada, we're trying to save money in the ashram, so we only have one towel. And that towel we use to dry Jagannath off with every day. And then we also, the devotees use it after that. And is this okay? And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, we collected some different statements from Srila Prabhupada about the worship of Lord Jagannath, but this is one statement we didn't include in our magazine because we thought if the pandas and puris see this, they'll completely freak out. Prabhupada wrote back and he told them, he said, it's okay, you can do like that, but you should wash the towel after you use it before you offer it to Lord Jagannath. There's another disciple, Srila Prabhupada, we've heard about it in Alachua, Florida. And I don't remember his name, but he was in the Vietnam War, and due to some terrible tragedy, his right arm was blown off. And then he came to Krishna consciousness, he became a devotee, he got first initiation from Srila Prabhupada, and then he was in the movement for a couple of years, and he wanted to take second initiation. But the temple president and the devotees told him, you can't. Why not? Because you have no right hand. How are you going to wrap your thumb around the Brahman thread? It's not possible. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, can I have second initiation? Prabhupada said, yes, why not? He said, but Prabhupada, how can I wrap the thread around my right thumb? Prabhupada said, you wrap it around your left thumb. No problem. And Srila Prabhupada gave him initiation. So our movement is following Bhagavad Vidhi, not all the rules and regulations of Archan and all these other things. So the Brahmins, they prayed to Krishna. This Bhaktivinoda Thakura cites this in his Bhagavad Arkamarichamal, text 50. Tasmai namo bhagavate krishnaya kuntame dase yanmaya mohita diyo brahmama karma vartmasu. They prayed finally when their wives came back, their intelligence came to them. And they realize, oh, these ladies have devotion. What have we been doing with all these rituals? And they prayed to Krishna, Tasmai namo bhagavate. We offer our pranams, our obeisances to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas we were confused by his power of illusion. We're simply wandering about on the paths of fruit of work, karma vatmasu. They criticized their own ceremonies and rituals. The Brahmavivarta Purana gives some interesting description about this pastime, and it answers many questions that we may have at this point. One question may be that, why did Krishna send them back? And what was the ultimate destination of those Yajnapatnis? The Brahmavivarta Purana, the fourth canto, chapter 18, describes the pastime of the Yajnapatnis. And in text 51, the Yajnapatnis, when they came to Krishna, they prayed to him. Varam vatsa nagrinimo naspriha tvat padambuje dehi swadasham asmabhyam dridam bhaktim sudurlabham. They addressed Krishna as vatsa, a very affectionate kind of dress, like you address a calf or a child. We don't ask you for any ordinary boon. The only thing that we want, naspriha tvat padambuje, we just want your lotus feet. Please give us service to you, dehi swadasham asmabhyam and dridam bhaktim sudurlabham. Please give us service and please give us prem bhakti to you. That prem bhakti which is sudurlabha, very, very difficult to obtain. Pashyamo nukshanam vaktra sarojam tavakeshava anugraham kuru vibo nayashyamo grihampuna. Krishna, we want to always be able to see you. Please be merciful to us. Anugraham kuru vibo nayashyamo grihampuna. Don't send us back home. And Krishna told them, so be it. And then Krishna sat down with the boys, and they had a very wonderful feast. Madhu Mangal was very impressed, and he told the boys, see, this is how the Brahmins cook. They're very superior. It's described by the poet Dukhi Shamdas that Krishna was taking prasadam from the different plates and putting it in the mouths of the boys. And in this way, they enjoyed their bhojan lila. And after they finished eating and washing their hands, then suddenly a very amazing golden airplane arrived in that place, which is decorated with garlands and conch shells and so many different auspicious items. And on that airplane, there were many liberated associates of the Lord who were dressed not like Vishnu Dutas, but they were dressed with forest flower garlands. They had flutes in their hands, and they were dressed as cowherd boys. When those airplane arrived there, they got off the plane, those liberated souls, and offered obeisances at Krishna's feet. And then they told those Yajnaputnis, come, we have a place on the plane for you. And not tourist class, you'll fly first class. The Brahmavivarta Purana, 4.18.62, describes, Viprabharya harim natva jagmar golokam ipsitam babuvar gopika sadyas chaktva manusha vigraham. Those Brahmins' wives at once left their human forms, and they became liberated gopis. Babuvar gopika sadyas. They bowed down to Krishna and they went to Goloka Vrindavan. A similar point is made by Kavi Karnapur in his Ananda Vrindavan Champu. There's a whole other story within this pastime, which we don't have time to discuss today, although a very important point, how one Brahmani was held back by her husband, and she left her body in separation from Krishna. And Kavi Karnapur says that that Brahmani, she attained Krishna's lotus feet, and before going to Krishna, she attained the lotus feet of the Braj Gopis, who trained her how to serve and please Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his Sartha Darshani commentary on this point, he says that we can't say that that gopi, that Brahmani who left her body, she was any better than the other ladies. They were all the same. So from these points of Vishwanath and Kavi Karnapur and the Brahmavivarta Purana, we can understand that the Yajnaputnis attained the form of gopis. Now, another question comes, but you may say, the Bhagavatam said that Krishna sent them back. So how do we reconcile this? The Brahmavivarta Purana says that the Yajnaputnis went to Goloka Vrindavan, but the Bhagavatam says they went back to their husbands. We could give two different answers. One based on Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says there that Krishna performs his pastimes again and again and again, and they're different in different Dibya Yugas. And the Mahabharata, for example, describes a pastime of Maharaj Parikshit being cursed by Sringi. But it describes there that he built a huge tower and locked himself up in this tower, whereas the Bhagavatam says he heard the Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. So there seems there's some difference in the description. That difference is there because of different Dibya Yugas, the same pastime happening in slightly different ways. That could be one answer. But the Brahmavivarta Purana gives another answer. Harishchayam vinirmaya tasham cha vishnumayaya prastapayam asagrihan grihan brahmananam swayam vibhu. That Krishna at that time employed his yogamaya potency and he created shadow forms of those wives and he sent them back to the Brahmins' homes. And the Brahmavivarta Purana describes that when those wives came back, their husbands didn't understand that their wives had actually gone back to Goloka Vrindavan. But their husbands, the only difference they saw is somehow our wives seem even more affectionate and even more beautiful, even more expert in their household duties. The Brahmins didn't understand that anything had changed. This is also an important point in the allegory that Bhaktivinoda Thakur raises, that the Yajna Brahmins represent people who are controlling, who have little faith, and are controlling people who have more faith than them. The Yajna Brahmins, due to their attachment to their material bodies, they didn't have proper faith in Krishna. And this is a problem in our bhajan and our development of Krishna consciousness. My revered spiritual master, Gorgavinda Maharshi, described in one lecture we have in our new book, I'll read you. He said, how can one develop Shraddha, or faith? For this reason we perform loud Sankirtan. This is the difference. The Yajnaputnis, they perform Sankirtan, and thereby they develop faith. Where their husbands were just doing some rituals, and they didn't develop proper faith. Maharaj goes on. By doing so, by doing the Sankirtan, you can develop Shraddha. Don't feel depressed or disappointed. Mahaprabhu is there. Krishna is there. Srila Prabhupada is there. Chant loudly and fill the atmosphere with transcendental sound vibration. You should have full, complete faith in the holy name, in Gopal, in Krishna, and Mahaprabhu. Don't feel desperate at any time in Mahaprabhu's movement. There's all optimism. He said, I've seen during my tour now that there is pessimism widespread amongst the devotees in America. Seeing that, I feel very sorry. I'm crying in my heart. What has happened? My Guru Maharaj came here first. He sowed the seed here. Now what has happened? They've lost faith. Such a sorry state of affairs. So that happens sometimes. But we should take shelter of the same process the Yajnaputnis took shelter of. The process of Nam Sankirtan. So there's some other things, but I think we should stop here. It's a little bit late. If anybody has any questions or comments, you can stay afterwards. And if you want to go for prasadam, please do that, because today our schedule is a little bit tight. And we'd like to remind everyone that if you'd like to have a free subscription for our email magazine, please sign up for that outside. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki, Bolo Giriraj Maharaja ke, Vamcha Kalpadarubhischa, Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo.